animals from utilizing water. By the end, there had been little left of the herd, or of Calum, who'd watched as all his farmhands left. After Annalene was forced to take a job working for Danar, her father became unreachable. 4 years later, after she and her mother relocated to a hut nearer the oasis, he finally took a blaster to his sorrows. Annalene had found him at home just 3 days after her announced engagement. He'd relocated the dozen remaining dewback eggs to what had once been her nursery years before. The livery stables and corral of the claim had been Danar's surprise wedding present to Annalene. The Thaney legacy lived on outside her store window, providing her distraction and solace. And when Danar had died, Callie, then 9, had found that same peace in tending the creatures. Annalene had ceded all care of the animals to her then. Callie needed it. And there was something else. The girl wouldn't have to spend her teen years debating the price of blankets with people who couldn't remember her name. It felt good to be on a dewback again, though, even given the danger. Snit had been a temptation, a challenge sitting there for Callie for far too long. Annalene suspected now that Snit had mountain dewback blood in him. One of Orin's crews had brought a batch of eggs after digging them up in the field. Mountain dewbacks were just shy of the cannibal breed for craziness. Annalene cursed herself for not doing a proper genetic workup before. She knew how, and the stable had simple diagnostic tools. But she'd been too busy. And neither of her kids were proving much good against temptation. Callie was in sight now, half a kilometer ahead. Snit didn't show any signs of stopping. Annalene and her mount cut directly across the flats toward them. Callie was still out of earshot, but Annalene could see the girl was no longer in control of the beast, if she ever had been. The Calwell livery beat all others for safety. 3 mighty girth straps went around each dewback's midsection, securing saddles. But those only worked well if the dewback sat still for a fitting, and she couldn't imagine Snit had. The resultant loose straps, she now saw, had caused the saddle to start sliding off Snit's back to the right. Callie, her foot tangled in a stirrup, was hanging over the animal's side, desperately clinging to the reins. With every futile attempt to climb back atop Snit, the girl was driving him crazier. He wouldn't stop until he'd shaken her. Snit topped a rise and vanished. Annalene reached it long seconds later. What she saw on the other side took her breath away. She'd known the eastern reaches were prone to sinkholes, but this place was a geologic minefield. Worse, it was the kind of pockmarked landform favored by, and often caused by, creatures so horrific they nearly defy description. Sarlaccs. Big underground appetites that preyed on anything foolish enough to wander along. Monsters that could swallow a land speeder whole, but were often impossible to see until they had you. And Snit was running straight into the place. Annalene doubled up on the reins and pushed ahead. Vila snorted, straining against her. He didn't like the look of the area, she could tell, and she couldn't blame him. But she had to play the odds. Sarlaccs were rare. There was a particularly large one at Carcoon, another near some of Tatooine's many ancient ruins she'd heard tell. Even a tiny one of their spawn could be a fatal discovery. But there was no other choice now. She prodded the animal into a bounding run, keeping as far away from the mini-craters as possible. Help! Annalene's eyes left the pitted ground and darted 100 meters ahead. Snit was going places fast, and Callie was still stuck. Mom, help! Annalene's heart caught in her throat, but she realized it meant that Callie had seen her. She gritted her teeth and pushed forward, her senses overloading. There was sand flying everywhere in Snit's wake. Annalene's hair, now unbound, blew openly and violently behind her. The desert floor rose and fell below, present here, absent there. And there was the constant thrum, thrum, thrum of Velas's feet slamming against the surface, reverberating through her body. Yet she was still gaining. Velas got his legs tangled up for a moment, but recovered quickly. Facing away from the chase for that second, Annalene thought she saw a Tusken raider peering at her from over a far distant dune. A moment later, she was back on track and sure she was hallucinating. Too much adrenaline. Snit, up ahead, didn't seem to care about anything. Annalene's voice cracked as she yelled into the wind, "Stop! Stop!" Snit was only a dozen meters ahead of her, and Annalene could see clearly how Callie was tangled in the stirrup. The terrified girl was half sliding off Snit's right side now, and in imminent danger of shaking free and landing beneath the beast's massive rear legs. Annalene had the move. "Sorry, boy," she called to Velas. "Gotta do this." She pushed the dewback harder, bringing him within nipping distance of Snit's left hind shank. There was no question of riding up on the right. Callie would be doubly in danger then if she fell. Annalene would have to bring the monster under control herself. Velas moderated his pace, fearful, Annalene figured, of Snit turning on him. But she was close enough. She released the reins, threw her weight forward, and scrambled up onto Velas's massive neck, the dewback scales skinning her gloveless hands. She looked down at the narrowing space between the two dewbacks. Grit exploded from the ground, each pounding step of Snit's a sandy geyser. If Snit knew Velas was alongside, he hadn't reacted. Yet. But he surely would. What would he do then? Annalene had mounted a trotting dewback before, but never an angry one, running at full speed from atop another animal. Snit could do anything. It was too dangerous to try. But she could hear Callie, too, crying out with every bump. Now! Annalene reached into space, clutching for Snit's rearmost girth strap. It was the only part of the rigging that looked at all secure. And it was. The second she had a firm grasp on it, she heaved herself from Velas to Snit. This Snit did notice, and he wasn't the least bit happy about it. He snapped his mighty tail forward, trying to swat away the woman hugging his back. Annalene hung on, pulling herself ahead, handhold by tenuous handhold. Velas was gone now, having angled off to the north. Annalene was committed. Still clinging, she grabbed Callie's